Lately, there's been a barrage of new laws around the country aimed at everything from anti-vaxxing to critical race theory in schools to treatment for trans kids to drag shows for kids to kids accessing social media. The through line in all of this? Parents' rights. A growing rallying cry from the right that they get to indoctrinate whatever they want into their kids' heads, and no one, especially not the government, has the right to interfere with that or present their kid with any alternative forms of thought. Is that true though? What actually are your rights over that little crotch goblin you've spawned? Let's talk about it. Roll the intro. First, let me thank my partner on today's video, Warby Parker. I think the thing I get most compliments on are my glasses. I switch back and forth between these tortoise shell frames and these gold boys. I actually have these in two different styles, or like two different lenses, one for reading, one for distance, because I can't be stopped, okay? I've been getting glasses at Warby Parker for years. Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores, offering eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses, okay? They also have options like blue light filtering lenses, and that's what I always get, because you guys, we stare at screens so much, okay? Too much, frankly, throughout the day, and I have noticed fewer headaches from switching to the blue light filtering glasses. Glasses start at $95, including the prescription lenses, and you can try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses to try on at home for free for 5 days. There is no obligation to buy. The try-on glasses ship free and include a prepaid return shipping label. You can try 5 pairs of glasses at home for free by going to warbyparker.com/leja. I'm always looking to freshen up my eyewear, okay? So I have a little at-home try-on kit. Let me set these boys, I own these, let me set them aside. At-home try-on kit. Ooh. Glasses. Okay, I'm gonna try and shake up my look a little bit. I'm looking for like larger frames and maybe darker ones just for fun. So I have these black frames that I'm trying. You know, sometimes I dream of having an all-black wardrobe, and I think these would look so great if everything I wore was also black, and I would feel so powerful. Okay, I could get those, and then I could get a second pair of black frames, but they're a little bit nerdier. So then like when I come on here and tell you guys about the law, I'm like librarian chic, but in all black. What do you guys think? That's my vision. And what's cool is that now you can save 15% when you buy 2 or more pairs of glasses or sunglasses. And if you prefer shopping IRL, Warby Parker has 190 retail locations throughout the US. So go to warbyparker.com/leja to order your home try-on kit for free today. Thanks, Warby Parker. So when you procreate, that new little human being that you brought into the world comes with a lot of legal strings attached. Those strings include responsibilities you are legally obligated to take on and liabilities you are legally obligated to take on if your semen demon breaks the laws, as well as some constitutional rights that have been established over years of Supreme Court precedent. First, let's talk your responsibilities. If you have a kid, you are responsible for that little crumb cruncher's well-being, including providing a safe living environment, protecting the child from abuse and other dangers, paying child support as ordered, fulfilling the child's basic needs like food, shelter, and water, disciplining the child, investing in the child's education, knowing the child's interests, and spending quality time with the child. If you don't live up to these requirements, then a court could order that you don't deserve to have any rights over that little rugrat, and they'll take them from you. Of course, many, many parents get away with not knowing the kid's interests or spending quality time with them and not disciplining them in any constructive way, all without any court intervention. So as with many things, the law can only go so far, and what happens behind closed doors is often outside the purview of the law, unless someone intervenes and calls Child Protective Services. All right, but then if that crib lizard becomes a tween who likes to break laws, well then you've got some liabilities on your hands. In most states, if your kiddo injures another person or damages property and they're under 18, you as the parent could face civil or even criminal penalties for their actions. You could be held liable for
compensating the harmed party. Though different states do impose different limits on age and limits on the total amount of damages you'd have to pay. Also, most states have laws against contributing to the delinquency of a minor. I'm in Minnesota, so I looked up the Minnesota statute. It says any person who, by act, word, or omission, encourages, causes, or contributes to delinquency of a child or to the child's status as a juvenile petty offender is guilty of a gross misdemeanor, unless the parent took reasonable steps to control the child's conduct. Then that could be a valid defense to any claim of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Notice that it's a person who, by act or omission, contributes to the delinquency. So that's pretty broad, and it means it's as much about what you didn't do or failed to do as it is about any affirmative act you took with regards to your child. Many states also have firearm access prevention laws that make it illegal for a parent to leave a firearm within reach of a child, as well as internet access and computer hacking laws that hold a parent responsible for their child's online crimes. So if you got a little crotch critter running around, you'd do best to keep one eye on them and their activities, lest ye be held responsible for their crimes. Okay, so those are your responsibilities and liabilities, but what most people, especially conservatives, are screaming about when it comes to parents' rights are the rights that they perceive to be their constitutional rights, rights protected by the US Constitution. And I say perceive because I would bet a lot of money that most parents screaming parents' rights while being bigoted and actively harming children probably have no idea what the Constitution actually protects. So let's go over it. First, let me say this. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say anything about the rights that parents have over their children. Any constitutional rights that parents have gained have been based on interpretation of the Constitution through Supreme Court precedent. And the way the Supreme Court has found that parents do have rights that aren't explicitly written in the Constitution is through the unenumerated rights in the 14th Amendment. If that sounds familiar, that's because the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause also contains the unenumerated rights to same-sex marriage, contraception, and until recently, abortion. The source of the so-called parental rights in the Constitution that conservatives are so certain that they have is the same source that they are constantly screaming against when it comes to abortion, contraception, and same-sex marriage. None of these rights are written down. They've been found to exist by the Supreme Court as part of the idea of liberty protected by the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That's right, fuckwads. You want to start breaking down long-held Supreme Court precedent about fundamental freedoms? That shit can go both ways. Let's fucking tango, baby. But listen, it is true that for the past century, the Supreme Court has read into the 14th Amendment of the Constitution certain fundamental rights held by parents. There are a handful of important cases in the parental rights jurisprudence. Let's dive into them, shall we? In Mayer v. Nebraska in 1923, the court held that a statute forbidding the teaching of any foreign language, specifically German in this case, in public, private, and parochial schools to kids under 12, impermissibly encroached on the liberty parents possess. The court explained that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment protects this liberty, incorporating the right to marry, establish a home, and bring up children. Basically, the law was trying to say that children should be indoctrinated with the American way of life with English, and they shouldn't learn any other language until eighth grade, so that when they're their youngest, most impressionable, they're properly taught what it means to be an American. Which sounds like a conservative wet dream, frankly, but the Supreme Court found that that law infringed on the liberty of the parent to avail themselves of whatever schooling and whatever language they wanted for their kid as long as it didn't harm them. And just as a side note, if you're like, wow, that's wild, in 1923, who's teaching their kids German? For context, my grandfather, so my mom's dad, was born in central Minnesota in the 1930s, the child of like second or third generation German immigrants, and his first language was German. He didn't learn English until he started school at 6. I like thinking about history and Supreme Court precedent in that type of context because it brings it home a little more. This is not ancient history. You have known people in your lifetime who are affected by the laws the Supreme Court put in place a century ago. Hell, you are still affected by many of them today. Anyway, I digress. So, Mayer v. Nebraska held that the 14th Amendment protects the liberty to bring up children in your home without overbroad governmental interference. Then, 2 years later, in 1925, the Supreme Court made a ruling in Pierce v. Society of Sisters. Relying on Mayer v. Nebraska, the case we just talked about, the court struck down an Oregon statute requiring children to attend public schools. They said that this statute interfered with the right of parents to select private or parochial schools for their children, and they said that it lacked a reasonable relation to to any purpose within the competency of the state. They also, however, acknowledged that the state should concern itself with the well-being of children and with the public welfare, but in this specific case, the requirement to attend public schools goes too far. In 1944, in Prince v. Massachusetts, the court held that states may prosecute parents when they expose their children to serious hazards to their well-being. The facts of the case are interesting, though. Specifically here, the guardian of a 9-year-old girl gave her religious magazines to go sell in the streets. And it was against the law in Massachusetts at the time for someone that young to be selling things and working in that capacity. The guardian said it was within her religious freedom to have the kid sell these religious texts on the street. And the court was like, nah, okay? The power of the state to control the conduct of children is broader than its power over adults. And there is no denial of any equal protection or religious freedom because this is a law applied to all children. You don't get special treatment because you belong to a certain religion and you want to break a child labor law in furtherance of that religion. So this was a limit of parental freedoms. Your religion does not give you free rein to submit your child to hazards to their well-being. All right? Moving on, we have Wisconsin v. Yoder, decided in 1972. The court held that Wisconsin's compulsory education law that required all students to attend school violated an Amish father's rights to take his 15-year-old children out of school to complete their education in Amish ways at home. The court said the state's interest in universal education is not totally free from a balancing process when it impinges on other fundamental rights, such as those specifically protected by the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment and the traditional interest of parents with respect to the religious upbringing of their children. Okay, so you can't submit your child to hazards to their well-being in furtherance of your religion, but your religion does matter when it comes to state laws on how to educate your children. But the court also said there is no doubt as to the power of a state having a high responsibility for education of its citizens to impose reasonable regulations for the control and duration of basic education. Because of this, the Amish parents had to demonstrate the adequacy of their alternative mode of continuing informal vocational education in terms of the overall interest that the state relies on in support of its program of compulsory high school education. Meaning, they had to show that what they were teaching at home after pulling the kid from school still was adequate under the state's criteria. So yes, religion, but also the state has an interest in the education of its citizens. That's why it also has a say in what you teach your kid when you homeschool them, for example. Then in 2000, we have Troxell v. Granville. In this case, the court declared a Washington state law unconstitutional because it was very broad and gave the state way too much power to grant visitation rights to non-parents, even when the parent objected. In this case, the court ruled that the grandparents had to have a certain amount of visitation days, even though the mom didn't want it. And so the Supreme Court was like, nah, that's way too broad, and it infringes on parental rights over who gets to see their kids. In this case, the court again asserted that the 14th Amendment protects parental rights, saying the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause has a substantive component that provides heightened protection against government interference with certain fundamental rights and liberty interests, including parents' fundamental right to make decisions concerning the care, custody, and control of their children. However, in a dissent in that case, the conservatives' own special boy, Scalia, said that parents' right to control their children's upbringing was an unenumerated right, and that the judiciary actually should not be the ones who are enforcing this right at all. It should be up to the legislature, according to Scalia. Later, in 2015, before a law school audience, Scalia reiterated this point, saying that parental rights just simply are not in the Constitution. Just like abortion isn't explicitly in the Constitution, nor is the right to contraception, nor is the right to same-sex marriage. It's all made up by the Supreme Court. And even with the protections that currently exist for parents based on Supreme Court precedent, that precedent still does not give parents the right to do things like go into a public school and dictate what is or is not taught in the school's curriculum. That is not protected by the Constitution or any Supreme Court precedent. And in fact, according to a Washington Post article, common law and case law have long supported the idea that education should prepare young people to think for themselves, even if that runs counter to the wishes of the parents. That article goes on to say, Republicans gain an electoral advantage by convincing their base that white children are being taught to hate themselves, their families, and their country. Whether this supposed attack on the American way of life is being coordinated by Black Lives Matter activists, Marxist educators, or Antifa operatives, the point is to generate an enemy thought of as being totally evil and totally unappeasable. And boy, is it working. However, conservatives also know that parental rights appear nowhere in the Constitution. And what happens when something that you want is on legally shaky grounds and found nowhere written in the Constitution? You make an amendment to the Constitution. Conservative lawmakers have proposed parents' rights amendments to the US Constitution, so far with little success, for years. One of the most recent ones was introduced by Republican Representative Debbie Lesko of Arizona, and it would establish that the liberty of parents to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children is a fundamental right. The amendment further says that the parental right to direct a child's education includes the right to choose public, private, religious, or home schools, and the right to make reasonable choices within public schools for one's child. And with the passage of laws like the recent law in Utah that restricts usage of social media by minors and requires age verification and parental monitoring for social media, plus laws aimed at protecting trans children from the professional medical care that they are seeking, and laws restricting the teaching of critical race theory in schools, laws all of which involve the state stepping in and controlling children and their parents, it's clear that all of this parental rights bullshit is just conservatives talking out their asses. Because if they really cared about a parent's unalienable right to have control over their child, how the child is raised, and what the child is taught, they would leave all of this, social media usage, medical treatments, and more, in the hands of parents. Instead, it's clear by their actions that they are concerned about controlling parents and children so that they can be indoctrinated with the right ideas. Ideas often based in a white supremacist Christian ideology that runs counter to the ethos of the US Constitution. But ideas that have been allowed to proliferate because of ignorance of what the Constitution actually says, combined with the fear-mongering of conservatives at the highest level. And with the way culture wars are currently playing out in America, it's survival of the fittest when it comes to which ideology our children will be indoctrinated with, at the expense of their well-being, their ability to think freely and critically for themselves, and sometimes at the expense of their very lives. Thanks once again to my partner on today's video, Warby Parker. Go to warbyparker.com/Legia to order your home try-on kit for free today. If you liked this video, you'll probably also like this video titled, Let's Talk About Critical Race Theory Since College Board Won't. Thanks so much for watching. Have a good day. Bye-bye.